This is the On the Line Podcast.
And we're back to another episode of the On the Line Podcast here again with Noah. How you doing, man?
Doing good. I had a pretty eventful round of golf today, so almost got in a fight, so that was pretty crazy.
Dude, I'm excited to hear the story. We're going to have to tell it in a little bit. We also have a guest today, one of my longtime friends, Kevin Zebranski. Kev, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Mark. Excited to finally be on the podcast here and really, speak my thoughts in my head about all this stuff.
Let's hear it, dude. I can't wait. So we got a lot of stuff going on today. We got to talk baseball. Baseball came back, and there's just so many problems going on in that league, but we're going to uncover it all. We're going to go into the In the News segment. We're going to talk about the golf PGA Championship that just happened. We're going to talk college football and how some players are opting out and, you know, how the programs are really going to work. Then we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the NBA. We're going to talk about Lakers, the 76ers injuries. And we're going to talk about the biggest underdogs that we think could make a run for it. And then we're going to finish the show with the NHL talk. NHL qualifying rounds just ended. Currently, the Columbus Blue Jackets are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And then we're going to talk about how some of the number one seeds and a lot of the seeding games, some of the teams may have been resting some of their starters and if it's strategy or not. And we were going to do a gambling corner, but we decided to change it up. So from now on, what we're going to do is some shows we're going to bring the gambling corner back. But what we're going to do is Noah and I are going to start posting on Twitter every day or every other day. We're going to be posting Noah and my best two bets for that day. So we're going to post each of our best two bets. And we're going to keep track. We're going to keep a log, see how we do. We're going to go between right now. We're going to go between NHL and NBA. We might throw a random sport in there if we like the odds on that. So we're going to do that. Keep a lookout on our Twitter. Our Twitter's at On the Line Takes. Just keep an eye out for that. It's going to be fun, and hopefully we'll win some money. I'm excited. But, you know, let's get started here. Kev, we're going to defer to you here. Baseball starting. And we just talked about gambling, so let's get into it. Who do you like right now? I know it's early, but who do you like for the World Series right now?
Well, I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm not trying to be biased here. But honestly, though, I think it's going to be a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. Right now, the updated World Series odds are 5-1 for the Dodgers and 9-2 for the Yankees. But I think the Dodgers are they're going a lot smoother right now. The Yankees are kind of fizzling out for a little bit now. They're on a little bit of a slide. Stanton just got hurt. And they actually replaced Stanton with like some no-name guy instead of putting Clint Frazier or Miguel Andujar in. Instead of that, they put this guy named Estrada in. And Clint Frazier, I actually met a guy at a bar. I went to watch Yankee with my dad, and he was actually a photographer for the Yankees. And so I'm asking him, like, he's been there for a while. And he's like, the one player I hate the most is Clint Frazier because he's just a dick. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, he just acts like he's a lot better than he is. And really cocky for being such a low man on the totem pole for that team. But for playing wise, I like him more. I like him more just as a DH, which they should have put him at instead of. I think he's going around the field, center field, right field, and then he kept getting hurt. He kept getting concussions, like really bad concussions and stuff. But and then Andujar kind of dipped last year after he lost Rookie of the Year to that the pitcher on the Angels and. Then he got injured. I think he got Tommy John or something like that last year, out the whole year. But he was supposed to be a big player. I mean, and last year's Yankees problem was they had too many good players. And by the time the playoffs started, they had to put, all their main stars came back from injury and they had to put them all back in. And, that's why they kind of started, then you have like Aaron Judge and Stanton and Sanchez. They came back from injury and they're just trying to hit home runs.
Yeah. I mean, there's like no doubt that the Yankees are absolutely loaded. Like there's no doubt in that. Today, Yanks drop a game to the Rays. They lose 3-4. Rays are, I mean, they're kind of hot on the Yankees' tail there in the AL East. What do you think about that? Do you think the Rays are any concern to the Yankees? Or are the Yankees, you know, just a bad game?
They have been getting under skin. They are this series. They've been messing with you know, they're chirping them and stuff. That's been a big thing. And you know, it's always been for the Yankees. You know, with the Tampa Bay, it's always been a kind of a big rivalry because you know, a lot of the Tampa Bay fans, they only come to the game, you know, the stadium when the Yankees are playing because they're all retired from New York. You know, they come down here, live in Florida. But I think. With Blake Snell, their pitcher, the Rays pitcher, I think they have a pretty good shot of at least making wild card this year. I think the Yankees pretty much have the AL East locked up, unless something terrible goes wrong. But I think that they're definitely, you know, Boston's on a slide. I think the Rays are next up for wild card. Obviously, the Orioles are a dumpster fire. And then the Blue Jays, they have a lot of young guys, the Blue Jays, a lot of actually former MLB players' sons on that team. They have like three of them. So they're going to be a pretty dangerous team, you know, in the future once they get going.
Yeah. Not this season, but I mean, like you said, slides, dude, Yankees, 3-game slide right now, 3 games in a row they dropped, which, I mean, it may not be reason for concern. They still are probably the most talented team in the league, but just something to keep an eye out. Noah, I know that you're a huge Pirates fan, man. Pirates till you die. Who do you like to win the World Series this year?
Well, dude, the Pirates, of course. I mean, come on. I bleed black and gold till I die. No, I mean, the Pirates are absolutely abysmal. And look, like already mentioned, Dodgers and Yankees are obviously the heavy favorites. But keeping in theme with the Pirates in the NL Central, I really do like the Chicago Cubs. I don't want to say that they're a dark horse team because they are leading the division right now and they have a 10-3 record, but I also like the Cubs to go back to the World Series. Last time they were in it was a couple of years ago when they defeated the Cleveland Indians, but their starting rotation before that, they just lost 2-13 to the Kansas City Royals the other night. They had the best ERA in baseball below 2. Which is actually fantastic for a starting rotation. So take that one game out of it where they lose 13-2. They're still one of the top rotations in baseball. And their offense is doing really well as well, actually. As a team, they're top 5 in total offense based off of their OPS, which is a really important stat. Pretty much just shows how you're doing, getting runners on base and slugging and just hitting in general. So that's probably my one pick. I feel like they might have an easy road and they might not be tested in their division because I can't see any of the other teams in the NL Central even competing in the playoffs, maybe besides the Reds. I don't see that the Brewers are doing that well right now. I feel like a lot of their top players are in a slump, but the Chicago Cubs are going to be my team besides either the Yankees or the Dodgers to go to the World Series.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, I don't really see anyone else from the Central there. The Brewers are, I mean, right now, probably the next best team there. Fun fact, actually, from the Brewers, Christian Yelich and Noah look exactly alike. It's his doppelganger. We're going to post that picture side by side on our Twitter. But they literally look exactly the
That's
same.
That's my twin, dude. And you know what, Christian Yelich, if you somehow hear this, please sign a jersey or let me, you know, get a photo opportunity out there somewhere. I'd love to just have that side by side photo, especially in person. That's one of my bucket list goals right there, is to meet Christian Yelich just to have that picture.
I love him. He's a great, like, I like him as a player. I have his jersey. I really, you know, ever since he left the Marlins, and plus the Marlins, like, screwed that whole, they traded Stanton and Yelich away, 2 MVPs. Like, I would love to see the Brewers win, but he was been in a slump. He just broke the slump with an inside the park home run like a couple days ago, but that team's gone down a little bit.
Like you said, though, isn't it interesting though that the Marlins are doing pretty well? I mean, they're first in the NL East, even though they traded away a lot of their big guys.
Well, as I said before, I think they're still playing the same atmosphere with no fans as they usually do. But again, it's been, you know, the COVID with their players, 9 of their players got COVID, plus the assistants and coaches and staff and stuff, you know, so they had to get pretty much a new team up there, and you never know what you're going to get out of the minor leagues. You know, and all those players right now are itching to play. The minor leagues have been canceled, so they're itching to play. And just like the Yankees last year, they brought up, you know, a lot of injuries and stuff. Obviously, the COVID's a little bit different, but, you know, they brought in a lot of new players, and they just – it worked well. They started playing small ball. And, you know, that's all it takes. One team, you know, the Marlins could end up being really well, but they've only played 10 games. So it's not, you know, the Yankees have played 16, a couple games. You know, a lot of teams have played a lot. So I think this week is definitely where you're going to see if the Marlins are real or not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, because the Marlins always just, they're like the Mets. They always just fizzle out. You know, they always give a little hope, but... Again, you know, again, they traded two MVPs, but, you know, Derek Jeter owns a team too, so, and they're not really too fond of him.
Let's move on here to, you know, COVID-19 has just been one of the biggest headlines there in at the MLB because it's just running rampant amongst teams. I mean, the Cardinals now just have ongoing cases, canceling games left and right. What do you guys see? Noah, I'll go to you first. What do you guys see as like a solution here? Do you think that, you know, what's the solution to the problem? How can they stop this and hopefully continue the season?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a sort of a Debbie Downer, but listen, I don't think that there is much that they can do. We always point to the NHL and the NBA doing so much better in handling the virus because they have the bubble. And I don't think it would have been that possible for the MLB just because of how the games played and the pace of play and things like that. I don't think it would be possible for them to do a bubble scenario. So they started this off probably not having a full 100% foolproof plan on how to handle the virus. And now they're kind of just handling things as they go. So they're in a little bit of a pickle because if they stop, they're just losing the revenue and it's going to be sort of bad PR for them because it just looks like they quit out in the middle of a year and they don't want to do that. So now that they're just in this tough situation, I honestly don't think that there is much they can do. I think they just weather the storm, take things as they come with the virus. If a team does get infected, like what the Marlins did, you do have to quarantine them and you're just going to have to postpone games or cancel games. But I mean, it's going to be an interesting scenario getting closer to when the MLB actually comes to play playoffs because you might have teams that have played an uneven number of games and then it becomes extremely controversial. Who makes the playoffs? Because if teams have played an uneven number of games, are they going to go off of win percentage? Does everyone have to play even number of games? And those teams that just happen to get the virus, are they just screwed out of a playoff spot? I just think it's an unfortunate scenario and they're just going to have to weather the storm.
Yeah, it's kind of messy. Kev, what do you think about it?
I don't think they should have had the season at all. I think they're forcing too much trying to do this. I understand the NBA and NHL doing it because they're right in the playoffs. They can have a bubble because it's you're not playing 60 games. Like, you know, they're not playing a full season. Each team's not playing 60 games. You have a bubble. Everyone's playing each other. MLB, again, as Noah said, you can't have a bubble because how are you going to do that? I mean, you got to travel around the country. You got to play full season, and that's just not possible. And I think, you know, I don't think they should have done it. I think, you know, and the Marlins and Cardinals have given us a little taste of what could happen. You know, more teams get infected, especially with these with involving the Astros with their bench clearing brawls a couple times, one against the A's today, and then the Yankees too, which everyone kind of expected because, you know, they're, you know, the Astros and they cheated, but, you know, and they're just running out there in a whole pile with, you know, some with masks, some without. So it's like, all right, you guys got to, you know, and it's funny because baseball is like the least contact sport you can probably get. And these teams are getting like 10 plus players getting sick. And that kind of relates going to football for the NFL and college. Like if baseball's getting like this, how are you going to do a college football season or NFL season? It just doesn't seem reasonable. Right. And I appreciate that they tried, but I think MLB should have just cut their losses and said, you know, this is a really weird time in history. It's not worth it to try to do this, but they're also trying and, you know, you're trying to make things seem normal again too. But I just have a strong feeling that it's eventually just going to be canceled. I just, you know, and that sucks, but, you know, it's what everybody expected.
Yeah. And you know what? I kind of see it the same way. It's like, it's kind of hard. You know, you look at football, you're only traveling 8 times. You look at basketball, hockey, they're not traveling at all. Baseball, you're traveling back and forth, stadium to stadium, you know, contact with so many people. Like you said, Kev, it's one of the easiest sports that you could just socially distance. I mean, you could socially distance in the dugout. When you're actually in the field, or you're not next to somebody, you know. It's all the extracurricular that's happening outside that's really plaguing the league, and it really just comes down to the players, I think, you know. They just got to be a little bit smarter. I don't know. I don't think it was a mistake to start the league. I just think that it was they just didn't plan enough. They didn't put enough precautions in place. And that's something that I think the NFL might also come down to, is that they, you know, they don't really have the parameters in place either, like strict parameters like the NBA and the NHL do. But the NFL is just a bigger league, and they'll find a way to just like kind of bully their way through it and figure out solutions as they go. So I'm not really worried there, but you know, I don't know about it.
A lot more of a contact sport too.
It is. Yeah.
And
it
then
is.
You got the plexiglass, you know, and you know, with baseball, you can't really do a neutral hub because each stadium is different. Each stadium is unique, yeah. You know, so how are you going to pick, you know, Yankee Stadium's a short porch. Meanwhile, like the Astros is crazy. You know, the field depth is crazy. So, you know, it's hard for that to pick a neutral site. Basketball, NHL, you have the same size regulation for the whole league, so that's, you know, a little more understandable, but
yeah. Let's move on here. Last baseball topic, real quick. Astros. We're going to talk Astros and how big of assholes the Astros are. The A's and the Astros got into a brawl. I get it. Especially socially distancing. Brawl is not socially distancing, but I mean, this is kind of just a continuation of what happened when they played the Dodgers, you know? And things like this are going to happen. You're the Astros, you cheated. I can't express that enough. Noah and I went on a rant, what was that, 2 shows ago, just about how much of assholes the Astros are and how they deserve all this stuff that's coming to them. Kev, we'll start with you here first. Where do you think it ends? Do you think it ends, or do you think this whole season is just going to be like, this stuff is just going to happen every single week?
Well, As I was watching a game, and the announcer made a good point. He said, you know, the Astros are taking it hard this year. They got lucky with no fans, because I was planning to go to the Yankee game in the Bronx when they played them. That was going to be a fun game. But they said, you know, eventually the fans will kind of forget. It's not going to be as harsh, but the players will never forget, because, you know, the players are playing for a World Series. They're playing for baseball and the tradition of baseball. It's supposed to be America's sport. And especially if you're like a Dodger, you know, you're a Dodger player, you know, pretty much 2 World Series were robbed from you. Of course, Correa went to Boston, and, you know, they had a little bit of a sign stealing there, but Boston kind of got off, you know, free. They didn't really do anything about that. But I think the Astros deserve everything that comes to them. I mean, obviously in every sport, there's a little bit of, you know, cheating and stuff like that. And, you know, you're trying to manipulate things to get, you know, advantage. Everyone understands that, but they went a whole nother level. And it's not even just because I'm a Yankee fan, but I feel for, you know, other teams that, you know, like the Dodgers and other teams that they played in the playoffs that lost to them. Some pitchers lost, you know, they helped ruin their careers because they did so poorly in these games. It really hurt a lot of players, and they get sent down to minor leagues, and, you know, your career is pretty much over just because they knew what was coming. They knew what pitch you're going to throw, and it makes you look bad, makes them look good.
Right. And that's just, it makes my blood boil. Noah, what's your take on that? Do you think it's going to stop, or do you think it's just going to happen the rest of the season?
No, I mean, I just think it's going to happen the rest of the season. And honestly, I mean, I think this was sparked by the Astros. I was just reading up on the story because I didn't catch the game. I only caught the fight. But in the entire series, the Oakland A's batters got hit a total of 5 times, and the Astros batters got hit 0 times. So there's a little bit of a message being sent there by the Astros. And the guy who actually started the brawl, Ramon Laureano, he got hit 3 times in the series. That was the 3rd time that he got hit by a pitch. So then when he started chattering with the Astros bench, and then one of their players finally rushed out, and then the brawl just ensued. I mean, like, how are you not going to be pissed that you just got hit for the 3rd time in, what, a 3 or 4 game series? Look,
Yeah.
I think there's a target on the Astros' back, and not only that, but hitting five batters to zero batters, I mean, that just shows that you're, I don't want to, you know, be not PG here. I'll try to be as PG as possible, but they're assholes. There's no other way to go around it. I would point to those pitch totals and say, you're definitely trying to intentionally hit that player if that's the third time that he got plunked just in the series. And on the top of that, we talk about just how much they cheated last year. I mean, dude, just quit being a bully. I mean, take your losses. You got caught cheating. Quit trying to start controversy. It makes me mad just because they don't want to respect the rules of the game. And they're honestly, it sounds like to me that they're just in a little bit of a slump and they're pouting right now because they're not performing incredibly well at all in terms of how they're playing baseball. I mean, when I take a look at their record, I mean, I don't have it off the top of my head, but when the last time I checked, they're a below 500 team. What, they're 6-9, I believe? Like, this is an absolute dumpster fire of a season for them, not only out of the backlash of last year, but just what's going on right now. I mean, they're not playing well. They're getting in fights. It's just a mess.
Yeah, I didn't even know that stat, Noah, about the batters getting hit by balls by the Astros. Dude, assholes, dude. I cannot stand it. I can't stand it. It just ruins the integrity of the game, and they deserve everything that's coming at them, especially since they're being petty about it a little bit. They're like, oh, why is everybody doing this to us? No, don't play the victim card. You're not the victim. You're the one that did this. So, oh, it's just, it's really annoying. But we that's all the time we have right now for baseball. We're going to move on to the in the news section where we talk about news stories that happened over the past week. We're going to start right here. Something that happened over the past, started August 6th, ended today. PGA Championship was really exciting. I mean, coming into today, so many people were tied for first place. I don't know if you guys caught any of that, but I mean, I was watching today, and there was just so many guys at the top. Dustin Johnson was up there, Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa actually ended up winning the whole thing. He ended up minus 13. Unbelievable. He was at like minus 10 basically the whole day. And then towards the back nine, he just totally tore it up. Great player. I think he's only 23 years old in just his second major, and he won it. I mean, he's absolutely unbelievable. So good for him. But Noah, I think it's time for you to tell us your golf story and what happened to you today when you were on the course.
All right, so I'll give a little background here on my golf game. So about a year ago, I picked up golf after playing baseball my whole life. So I have a baseball player's type of swing. It was incredibly hard for me to transition. I'm still working out of it. But anyways, I'm playing much better now. In sort of the bogey golf range, and I'll just lead off with, I shot a record round for myself today of an 86. So a little bit of a humble brag, but there's a big story that comes along with it. So we're playing at a course. I'm with my neighbor and his dad, longtime family friends. So we're having a great day, or at least trying to. And it's a slow day. I mean, there are plenty of groups out. It was a beautiful day out where I am in Western PA. So plenty of groups playing. It's just a slow day. Nothing you can do about it. Well, the four guys behind us didn't seem to care too much because pretty much from hole number one, they would hit into us while we were on a green or in the middle of a fairway if there was like a blind spot where they couldn't see us. They would hit into us. First and second hole, we didn't care too much because they're like, oh, you know, maybe we didn't see. Or maybe they didn't see us. Well, it went on for the entire round. It just kept happening. I'm like, well, these guys just simply don't care. So, and we would throw our arms up at them and say like, hey, what's the deal? Because we didn't want to get into actual fight with them. We didn't want to go back and say anything. So they kept doing it, if they hit into us, I would just go pick up their ball and put it in my bag. Because screw them, right? too bad. I'd either pick it up or I'd just hit it into the woods so they could go find their ball. So, you know, as the round went on, I had at least a half a dozen great Callaways in my bag. I mean, some great balls, some Chrome Softs. I'll love playing with them. But anyway, we're at the end of the round. I think it's hole 17. We had just finished a par 3. And, you know, it's a par 3. At least wait for us to, you know, get in the cart and get away from the hole before you hit. Well, these guys didn't care too much at all. And they drop one literally 5 feet away from our cart. So my buddy's dad, who was holding back his temper all day because he was getting so pissed at it. I mean, he plays in golf leagues. You know, he's been playing for however many years. Just don't hit into people. That's his thing. He turns around. He is absolutely livid. We get into a screaming match. I mean, I gotta back my guy up too. So me and my buddy, who's his son, he gets out. We're just screaming at these kids. We drive up to hole 18 and we're up there waiting for another group to tee off. And we're debating, oh, these guys are going to come up and they're going to be waiting for us. And what are they going to do? We're totally going to get in the fight. My buddy's dad literally was like, you know, what do we do? Do we leave? Do we just skip the hole? And he just finally decides, I don't want to go to jail today. And we get in the cart and we get out of there. We give ourselves pars for the hole. So that's a little bit of an asterisk next to my record round of 86 for me today, because we gave ourselves pars on the last one. But just trying to enjoy my day and have these assholes behind me. You know,
dude, that's amazing. I mean, that's just not courteous for them to do that. And you know what? At the end of the day, you come out with six brand new balls in your bag.
Oh, at least six. I just gave a little bit of a figure there. It's at least six. They were just handing them. It was like taking candy from a baby, dude.
That's amazing. That is amazing. But yeah, you know, great PGA, great golf this weekend. I can't wait to get back out on the course. I actually went to Topgolf this weekend. Topgolf's really fun. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Topgolf.
How much is that? Like, we get the reserve, right?
Yeah, we reserved it ahead of time. It was like, it's like $30 an hour. So you don't pay per person, you just pay for the bay. And then you could extend it. So like, we played for like an hour and a half, and it was like plenty of time. Like, it was totally fun. And yeah, it's really fun.
Drinks and stuff, bar.
Yeah, they have bar, they have food. The food there actually is not bad at all. It's not bad at all. Little plug right here for Topgolf. Let's get a sponsorship from Topgolf.
Yeah, but hold on. Before we move on, we'll just remind listeners that you lost your girlfriend in pool basketball. I know I know Liv went with you, your girlfriend. Did she beat you at Topgolf again, too?
We're not going to talk about that.
Oh, so she did. See, look, the tradition continues of Mark just losing.
We're not going to talk about that.
Mark, anyway, did she outdrink you last night too?
Anyway, no, we're not talking about any of this. So let's move on to the second news story we have here. We're running a little bit over, but college football is having a little bit of an issue. You know, they're trying to figure out now, you know, what leagues are going to cancel, what, you know, how they're going to work around this. Some college players are even coming out and saying, you know what, I'm not going to play this season. I'm just going to kind of focus on the NFL draft. I'm not going to risk it. I believe a lot of the bigger sports conferences, like the SEC, I assume the Big Ten, you know, they're going to try and bully their way through because they need football. You know, they're depending on it. I know Penn State's still sending their kids are going back to Penn State in August. Noah, your brother goes there. Is he going back to school in August?
He is. Yeah, he's excited for it. But, you know, everyone's a little on edge, a little on the fence, because everyone's feeling like once they get up there, I mean, only time will tell if they stay for the entire semester.
Yeah. Honestly, Kev, we'll start with you here. How do you see this playing out? I mean, how do you see this playing out at all? You don't have all the teams that you have, you know, already scheduled. They're not going to be on it. You're going to have to totally modify the schedules. Even if they're just in-conference games, that's totally different from what college football is. How are you going to do the rankings? Because there may not be any of that, you know, inter-conference. I mean, conference to conference, outside conference games. Sorry, I couldn't phrase that. But outside conference games, there may not be any of that. So how is the rankings going to work? How are they going to figure that out? Do you think that a college football season should happen this year?
Well, no matter what happens, there's going to be an asterisk next to 2020 for the college season. But right now, the news developing is the Power 5 conferences, which involves the SEC too, are talking about just canceling the season. You know, so many players have been dropping out and just going right to the NFL draft. Again, some conferences aren't even playing. The Big Ten, our local Big Ten, you know, Rutgers, Penn State, they're all playing just interconference. But, you know, it'd be nice if the season was canceled because Rutgers are going to get their asses kicked. But I just don't think it's smart to play football. As we saw, baseball is getting really infected. And then football, you're literally just hitting each other. You know, I see that they're putting like plexiglass over the face masks and stuff, but I mean, such a contact sport, and you know, why risk it? You know, I think everybody here, you know, agrees that 2020 has just been a mess of a year, and we should just cancel everything and just wait till next year, just prep till next year. But instead, again, all these leagues are trying to put like 10 gallons of shit into a 5 gallon bucket. And it's just not working out well. And it's making, as you said before, Mark, with the PR, it's making it look bad. And you know, it's kind of hit, you know, it's a lot of hypocrisy. I said that wrong, but you know, all these social distancing rules. But then you're gonna have a college football season, you're gonna have an NFL season where your players are literally just up against each other, as close as you can get for any other sport. And you know, you're like, I don't, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem smart to me. And a lot of players are seeing that too. And you know, especially right now with this developing new stuff right now, you know, if the SEC doesn't play, there's no reason. The rankings are all going to be messed up. I mean, how can you really have a true football season when you don't have like Alabama playing or Clemson playing or all these big teams? Again, it's going to be like, oh, well, that season didn't really count because there's, you know, half the teams that even play. Right. And college is a lot different than other leagues because obviously you have a ranking system. And, you know, if you're losing big teams, it's just going to make it all messed up, you know. And so right now, if the Power Five conferences, they say no football, then – you know, that's it. And which sucks, you know. It's going to be a long fall if there's no sports. You know, we went through it from March till May or June. And it's getting old real quick. But, you know, again, I think this year has been a wash for all leagues. I'm glad the NBA and NHL are finishing up. That's reasonable. You know, they're in their own bubble and, you know, you finish up and, you know, obviously there's going to be a little controversy with, you know, them letting in teams that are on the brisk of the playoffs, but I just don't foresee any fall sports this year.
I know what? I hope football comes back. I really do. But, you know, college, the NCAA is not handling it like any of the pro sports leagues should. And to be honest, it's not a pro sports league, but it basically is. It gets the television recognition it deserves. Noah, do you see a college football season happening?
I mean, it's tough, and I know you and I are both really rooting for it. Kev, I know you are as well, but listen, I don't think it's going to happen, especially after these Power 5 teams that actually just came out today that they, you know, had an emergency meeting and said that they were considering canceling fall sports and especially college football altogether. And, you know, the one interesting piece that I took away from that article is the first thing was that, you know, you don't want to put a damper on any kid's senior year or just their college sports season at all. So no university wanted to be first to begin with. But now, with the virus and all of the health concerns, you don't want to end up being the last school to cancel either, because then it looks like you're putting your players and your student body at risk. So it's just a really tough situation. You already have a couple other conferences. I think the Mid-American Conference, which is schools like Ohio, UConn, SMU, they've completely canceled fall sports. The Ivy League's canceled fall sports. The Patriot League, Mark, that's our home conference because we went to Loyola. They've also canceled fall sports completely. Yep. It's just a matter of time before the bigger conferences follow suit.
Yep, I agree. So we're going to take a quick break. Oh, little update before we go to commercial. Blue Jackets still up 1-0 in the third period, 13 minutes left.
Thank
Something
God.
To keep an eye on. We're going to take a quick commercial. We'll be back in about a minute. And we're back to the second half of the show. If you missed the first half of the show, joined again by Noah, and we got my buddy Kev Zabransky on here. Kev, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Mark. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Good first half of the show. We talked baseball, and Kev's a big Yankees fan, so we talked baseball. We went into the news, talked golf, and Noah's golf story. So if you missed that, go back, check that out. It's actually really funny. And then we went into college football and how their season could end up shaping out, or if they're even going to have a season. So now we're going to get into the second half of the show. We're going to do NBA and we're going to do NHL. We're going to start here with the NBA. I'm a LeBron James fan. I mean, I'm not really I don't really have a basketball team, but I enjoy watching basketball. Lakers clinched the first seed in the Western Conference, but LeBron James sat out the other night, sore groin. And, you know, it's kind of, they don't look the same without him. And it's not to say that LeBron is the only guy on that team that can perform. Obviously not. They have AD, and they're just, they have a lot of good playmakers that work well together. But the problem is that if one of those guys goes down come playoff time, they're screwed. I mean, they really do not have depth. And you need depth when you come to the playoffs. I mean, the Sixers are looking at it right now with Embiid not playing and Ben Simmons potentially done for the rest of the season. So, you know, let's start here. Lakers win the Western Conference. Do you guys believe in the Lakers to take it all the way and win the championship? Or is there somebody else, let's say just focus on the West here, is there somebody else from the West that you like to take their spot?
Well, you know, I thought the Lakers, honestly, were going to be, after Kobe's death, I thought they were going to be, like, absolutely, like, destroying the league, you know, like that Mamba mentality. And then, you know, obviously COVID shut things down, and now they've been sitting for a while. And now it's just like they're just – and I've seen it with a lot of teams playing now. They just don't seem the same. They're not back into it. And I think right now they're just trying to go through growing pains. Like it's, you know, they're getting right back into it. So I think the Lakers are fine. But as you said, Mark, I mean, I from past experience, it seems like LeBron is a big part of, you know, most of part of his team, especially with the Cavs, not the Heat, but, you know, with the Cavs for the last couple years, you know, he's been the head of it. But the Lakers, you got AD. I mean, I think they could do pretty decent without LeBron, but obviously LeBron's that missing puzzle piece that can, you know, again, he went the last 10 years he went to the NBA finals besides last year when he got injured. So, like, you know, obviously he is like the focal point of the team, and you know, you kind of expect him to win. So, you know, you can always put money on the Lakers. You can always expect them to win. They're a great franchise, you know, they're historic. And I think, you know, they're going to get that they're going to do it for Kobe. They're going to try as hard as they can. But, you know, being teammates with LeBron isn't easy either. So, you know, we'll have to see after a couple games when they really get back into it.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually – you said before you think that the Lakers will still be kind of decent even if LeBron's not there. I'm going to disagree with you. I think the Lakers are dead in the water. When you got the Clippers, you got the Rockets, I mean, even the Thunder is a decent team now. I mean, not to say that I think the Thunder could necessarily beat them. I mean, even though they did beat them the other night, I don't think that the Thunder could beat them at full strength. I think the Lakers without LeBron, you're done. You're done. I think they're dead in the water. Noah, what do you think?
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to agree with you. Dead in the water. I mean, I'm looking at their last three games. I mean, they've lost four out of their last five. But looking at their last three, when they played OKC, they didn't lead in the game. They trailed the entire game. Same thing with Houston. Maybe if they traded points in the beginning, you know, maybe they had a two-point lead. But other than that, pretty much beyond the second quarter, they trailed the entire game. And with Indy, I think they only held the lead for a span of a few minutes in the middle of in the second and third quarter, I believe. So they're not only losing, but they're just getting completely outplayed and out-game managed because they never have the lead. And they're not trading the lead either. It's not like they're in close games. I mean, they're not playing well at all. And take LeBron out of the equation, who's no doubt their best player. I know Anthony Davis is one of the top players in the league as well, but is he going to carry the team? No. I mean, that's the reason why New Orleans traded him, because he, you know, I don't think they believed that he was the centerpiece that was going to carry them to multiple titles. Without LeBron, take him out of the equation. I mean, regardless, even if he's there, there's way too many tough teams in the West. I think they're done.
Yeah, I agree. I love the Lakers coming into this season, but I just look at them and I'm like, they got no depth. The Clippers are playing lights out, even though Paul George is not playing tonight, and they're losing to the Brooklyn Nets. That's besides the point. But I think Paul George and Kawhi there with the Clippers, that's an unbelievable duo. The Rockets, Westbrook and Harden, they look real nice. The Rockets look really good. But I mean, a lot of people that had hope, you know, the fan base had a lot of hope, is the 76ers. I mean, the 76ers came in looking like a decent team, good duo there, Joel, Ben goes down now. potentially for the rest of the season. And Joel is, you know, he didn't play the other night because he was injured too. So, I mean, the Sixers could be in a little bit of trouble here. Do you think the Sixers are in any sort of contention in the East?
Yeah, I guess I'll lead it off here. Absolutely not. I mean, Ben Simmons is being considered for surgery right now. And without him, I mean, who is it? Joel and Tobias Harris, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, those are their top two guys. Look, that's not winning you a championship. I know the East is a little weaker, but you have teams like the Bucks, who we've talked about, is that they're the clear frontrunner over there. The Raptors are extremely well coached. And now the Indiana Pacers are starting to really come into their own, with TJ Warren just absolutely taking the league by storm in the past couple of weeks, dropping 20-plus point games. Look, I don't think there's any hope for the Sixers at all. I mean, the Sixers and Lakers are two of the top brands in the league, not only historically, but just big markets, LA and Philadelphia. But they're also the two teams who I believe are just absolutely out of the picture in terms of sniffing the NBA finals, not in terms of winning it, but even making it. I don't think they'll get close.
Kev, what do you think? Sixers in or out?
Well, right now, Damian Lillard's taking advantage of those injuries right now. He's going like beast mode right now.
They lost to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, so Damian Lillard's, you know, he just dropped, I think it was like, he dropped a good amount of points, 51 Damn. Points on them. Obviously, you know, you had the injuries too, but I think, I agree, the 76ers, I think, they're going to lose this one. Even if they make it to the next round, they're just going to get wiped out. They don't have it. You know, the season's pretty much over. You lost your two best players, and, you know, Philly fans are a whole different breed, but, you know, you can't survive with the team they have now. It doesn't matter if you get to the next round or the conference finals or NBA finals, no matter what, you're going to be facing a team that is just going to dominate them. And, you know, I love to see it because, you know, Philly sucks, but, I think and especially after last year when Kawhi hit that dagger game winner, I think, you know, since then they haven't really been the same team, especially when Embiid cried. But
luckiest shot of all time. That Kawhi
it was
shot
a sick shot. I mean, oh man. But I, you know, they always seem to be that team that just they have a lot of potential. You know, all season they have a lot of potential, but then once they get in the playoffs, just nothing clicks well. And they get overmatched and beat by the better team.
Yeah, I see that a lot. Little update here. Segue. Blue Jackets scored again. 2-0, beating the Leafs. Let's go. I mean,
you got
honestly,
that. You get that plus two.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. Goal, that's man. True. That's true.
As long as the Nets Nets blow it, you're looking good.
I live bet this. I parlayed Blue Jackets over 1.5. That just hit. I had Rockets beating the Kings, which just happened. Rockets beat the Kings. Last part of the parlay I need Clippers to beat the Nets, the damn Nets, and they're losing the Nets, but that's besides the point. We'll get into that later. I think the 76ers are dead. Like both of you said, I don't think the 76ers really have a chance here. I think the East is really good. I think the Pacers are nice. Heat are surprising me right now. Not that I think that they're really a championship caliber team. But Jimmy Butler has that team going, and they're really nice to watch. Out of the East, I mean, I kind of like the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors, they look good. The Celtics look good. The Bucks look good. I mean, those teams just look well-rounded. Actually, I take that back. The Bucks probably look they don't look as good as the Raptors and Celtics right now. I'm not going to lie. I think that both those teams look better. You know, if I'm picking one, and we're going to go around, if I'm picking one team right now to make it out of the East and make it out of the West, I mean, out of the East right now, I'm going to go Celtics. I think the Celtics are too good. I think Jason Tatum is too good. I think that team is really, really nice. Out of the West right now, you know what? This is going to be a hot take. I'm going to ride, and they're in ninth right now, so they're not really there. I'm going to ride with the Trailblazers. I love the Trailblazers. I think the Trailblazers are looking really, really nice. I think they're a really good team, but, you know, there's still a few games out. It's going to be really tough for them to come back. Melo and Damian Lillard look really good. But, I mean, I guess my second team, which is kind of against the rules, would be the Rockets, just to make it interesting because, like I said before, I think the Lakers are kind of dead in the water. And I think the Clippers, they look good, but I like the Rockets. I like Harden there. Noah, who are you going to pick for your two teams?
Yeah, start off in the East. Even though there are some interesting new candidates, I know you said that the Celtics, the Raptors, I mentioned the Pacers and the Heat, they all do look like formidable playoff teams, but I am going to go with the number one team here. Look, the Bucks have lost a couple of games. They lost the Rockets, and they lost in overtime to Dallas, but I don't consider those bad losses because of how potent those offenses are. You look at Dallas. I mean, Luka Doncic, he's just absolutely tearing it up right now. And then you have James Harden and Russell Westbrook with the Houston Rockets. I mean, that's a tough matchup for any team, regardless of what their defense looks like. But, Mark, you mentioned that you really like the Celtics. The Bucks beat the Celtics in the first game back coming from the Corona restart. And they've also beat the Heat, who is another tough opponent in the East as well. I think they're just trying to get a couple more games underneath them. I still think that they're going to be the front runner. I love Giannis and Chris Middleton. I love the depth that they have. I feel like they're a pretty deep bench. They just need to figure their defense out. But they play the Raptors tomorrow, so we'll see what that test will be for them. If they can beat the Raptors, I'm going to be confident that they'll come out of the East. I just really like them as a team to come out of there. And then for the West, it's a tough one for me in the West just because I feel like there are so many teams that could take it. But I'll stick with the top guy. I mentioned that I really wanted the Lakers to go, but I'm going to defer to the Clippers now. With Kawhi and Paul George, I feel like that's just a duo that you really can't mess up, and it's going to be really tough to defeat those guys, especially because they're veterans who really want to win. Kawhi's already coming off a championship. I know Paul George wants one as well, so it's either them, or I would say my dark horse might be the Mavericks just because nobody can stop Luka. So, but I'm going to take the Clippers out of the West.
Dude, if you take the Clippers, if the Clippers lose tonight, I'm blaming you. It's solely your fault because you just took them right now, and they're losing to the Nets right now.
They were already losing to the Nets before I took them. So.
That's hearsay. Like you said, okay, I get the Bucks. The Bucks beat the Celtics game one. I mean, I kind of think that the first game back was kind of like a warm up period. I mean, the Lakers beat the Clippers the first game. The Lakers should not have won that game. I mean, LeBron should not have been able to put that last shot up down the middle. But I mean, if you look at the Bucks, I mean, they lost to a bunch of playoff teams. You lose to the Rockets, you lose to the Mavs. They did beat the Heat, and they lost to the Nets. I mean, Nets is a bad loss. Losing to the Mavs and the Rockets, that's not a good sign either. They did beat the Heat, and they did beat the Celtics, like you said. I just think the Celtics are a better, well-rounded team. I think that the Bucks, I mean, the next three games they have, they're playing, you got to play the Raptors, you got to play the Wizards, and you got to play the Grizzlies. If they better win two of those three games, and the only game that they should potentially drop is against the Raptors. That's the best team out of those three. But like you said, man, the Mavs are a good team. They brought the Bucks to OT and beat them, and the Mavs are not even close to being one of the best teams in the West right now. I just like the Celtics. I think the Celtics are a really strong team. I mean, recently they just beat the Magic, so that's not saying much. The Magic is trash. But I mean, they were able to beat the Trailblazers. They did lose to the Heat, but they beat the Nets. They beat the Magic. They beat the Raptors. So they're beating some pretty decent teams here. But like you said, the Bucks did beat them. So right now the Bucks would be a better team. I can't really argue with that. But Kev, let's go to you. What do you think? You know, East, West, who are your teams?
Going off of Noah and you, I think Dallas. I think they can be definitely the dark horse for that Western Conference. I mean, you have Luka and you have Porzingis. And I think, you know, again, it's a long shot. And again, you gotta go past the Lakers and you gotta go Houston and I like the Trailblazers too, as you said. I like them. Lillard can be a killer and he's doing it right now against the 76ers, but I would like to see Luka, you know, he's still young, you know, and again, it's very hard to go against like the Lakers right now. LeBron, Anthony Davis, they've been in the league, they have experience, but just like in 2011 or 2010, whatever, Dirk brought the Dallas to beat the Heat, the heavily favored Heat. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And Luka is, as Noah said, you just can't stop him. So if they get that whole team complete, and Porzingis can be, you know, we all seen how good he could be. So for the West, I think they could be the dark horse. Overall, though, I would probably say I'm leaning towards the Rockets right now because, again, the Lakers are looking like, you know, kind of a mess, and especially without LeBron. But I definitely go the Rockets. Then for the East, I don't trust the Raptors. You know, I think last year was kind of a fluke. They've always been a great team, but they always lost, you know, in the playoffs. They could never make it to the finals. Again, they always got killed by LeBron. And then obviously last year they had Kawhi, and he brought them to the finals. And, you know, I think it would have been a better finals if, you know, the Golden State had a lot of injuries. But I think it's going back to the same thing with the Raptors. They're a great team, but they don't have that centerpiece to bring them to the finals and win it. I would like to see the Heat go. You know, they got some young players. Jimmy Butler, he's just a killer as well. You got Tyler Herro too, and Dragic. So I think they're, you know, they could definitely be a dark horse. The Bucks are not the same as they were last year. There's definitely some weakness in there. Even though Giannis is a NBA MVP award, I just don't think that they're really going to push past that, especially last year they lost. I just like the Heat. I like the Heat coming in. But again, the forerunner are the Bucks, and, you know, again, it's only been a couple games in, so we'll have to see. It's been like, you know, 10 games in, whatever. We'll have to see what goes on before the real round start. But I like the Heat, and then I like the I'd like to see the Mavericks go.
Damn. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're all over the place, and it'll be nice to see who's going to actually make it out. Still a little bit of season left, so still got some time. But actually, who's already in the playoffs, who was really interesting this past week, let's get into the NHL. Let's get a score update real quick, just so we can rub it in that the Blue Jackets are beating the Leafs.
Nobody cares about your parlay, Mark.
Still 2-0 Blue Jackets over the Leafs. Everyone hates the Leafs.
Everyone hates the Leafs.
There's only 2.5 minutes left, so I think the Leafs are done. It's honestly embarrassing. It's embarrassing that a team of that has that many stars on it is just crap and can't do anything in the playoffs, and it makes me so happy because John Tavares, that snake, and Austin Matthews is there too. They got Mitch Marner, and they just can't get it done, and it honestly brings a smile to my face. But let's talk about the teams that actually did move on. There was a bunch of good hockey this past week. Noah, do you want to take a moment of silence here for your Penguins, or are you?
You know what? I'm not going to cry about it too much because I already cried enough earlier about how they lost. Not only that, but your Islanders once again moved on. At least your team didn't beat my team this year. They got to play different opponents. So it was a little bit of an easier pill to swallow watching the Pens lose. But, you know, it was also the absolute worst seed or the last seed to be in the tournament, and they were supposed to be the favorite in the qualifying round. So I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, that has to suck. I honestly did not think the Canadiens could pull that off at all. They rallied behind Carey Price. He literally carried them. And a combination between that and, I mean, Noah and I were talking, I mean, the combination of that and Matt Murray just sucking is what kind of made the Canadiens win that series. I mean, there was a couple other shockers. I thought Edmonton was going to win. I thought Edmonton was going to beat the Blackhawks. They did not. We did our picks a few weeks ago. Noah, I don't know if you remember yours.
I do. And you know what? Before you jump into yours, I will say if anyone planned on betting my first round qualifier picks, you would have lost so much money, and I am so sorry. Because I think I picked the Penguins, the Oilers, the Rangers over the Canes as well, and then the Predators I was also very high on. I said they could have been a dark horse because of their roster. I think I honestly probably would have picked Toronto, and they're very well going to lose that game as well. So I just absolutely whiffed on the NHL this year. I normally know a decent bit about hockey, but yeah, just awful. I probably honestly just would have picked the Islanders to lose too, because I never want Mark's teams to win. But would have whiffed.
That is true. I'm actually pretty proud. I did pick the Isles. I picked the Canucks. I picked the Blue Jackets, and hopefully that they can hold on. I did pick Edmonton. I was wrong about that. I actually did pick Pittsburgh. I didn't think Pittsburgh was going to drop. I I thought the Rangers could somehow knock the Hurricanes off. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they were going to go to the second round at least. I had them as a dark horse, and they boofed that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's so that didn't happen. But I mean, it's interesting because all the top teams, when they were trying to decide their seeding, it seemed like some of the top teams, they sat some of their starters. I mean, do you guys think that there's like a reasoning behind that, or maybe some strategy behind that? Like the Bruins sat Tuukka Rask. The Blues tonight sat Jordan Binnington. And I mean, those teams, the Bruins lost all three games, and nobody thought the Bruins would lose all three games. The Flyers carried their momentum in, and that was my team before the season. I said, if anybody can make it out of the East, it's going to be the Flyers, because I think they're hot, and they still are. They won all three of their games. But, you know, there's some teams in there that are like, did not play as we expected them to. Let's start with the Bruins here. You know, Bruins, Stars, Blues, all teams that won, that lost, you know, a bunch more games that they won. Do you guys think it's a strategy here to bench some of your starters?
I don't know if they're trying to necessarily work an angle of trying to face a specific team. I mean, who really knows what the organization's trying to do? I think the angle is that they're preparing for a long playoff here. I mean, these are teams that got the bye and got to play in sort of the top seeding round of 1 through 4. So I don't want to say that it doesn't matter, because obviously you want the highest seed possible, but I really think it's just resting guys and making sure that you have a backup plan, especially in the case of Boston. I know other goaltenders sat as well, but look at Tuukka Rask, right? Say he all of a sudden gets the yips and he's not playing so well. You want to make sure your backup's going to be fresh and ready to come in. And I'll point to my hometown Penguins, that they should have pulled Matt Murray after game one, definitely game two in my opinion, because he didn't look good. And if you have a formidable backup that you know that you can rely on just in case your starter craps out, that's going to be something that works to your advantage. Whereas there might be another team that's in the playoffs that is just truly relying on that goaltender playing hot. And if somehow they're not, you know that they're screwed. So I think that's necessary. I just think that's the angle that most teams are playing. They just want to rest some of their guys and make sure they have a backup plan with their sort of their bench and their depth, just to make sure that they're as well prepared as possible for anything thrown at them in this playoff format.
Yeah. Kev, what is your take on that? What is your take on the,
I probably have to agree with Noah 100%. I think, you know, cause there's no home field advantage during this. There's no, you know, you don't have to worry about that for seeding wise. It's more, you know, you got to rest your best players right now. They're just, these are just, you know, warm up games. And as Noah said, you get your backups in, you get them warmed up, you get them prepped just in case something bad happens. And then, you know, like the Bruins, you know, and again, these are teams are also coming back from not playing for like 5 months. And so, you know, again, when we saw the pre, like with the first games when they came back, they're all rusty and stuff like that. So I think, you know, as Noah said, I think they're just resting their stars and, you know, they're not really concerned with, you know, these play-in rounds and seeding and stuff. As your Islanders got the Caps instead of Bruins. So, you know, yeah, it may look like the Bruins are 0-3, but I think you guys got better off, you know, going with the Caps. I think the Islanders will beat the Caps. I think coaching, I think, you know, Barry will definitely out-coach the Caps there, so I think you guys got good seeding for that one. But then you had, like, you know, for the then you had also, yeah, Dallas, they sat Seguin and Bishop, although those were supposed to be injuries. But yeah, as Noah said, I think it's just, you know, resting up, and it's not like it's a decisive game. It's not like it's the end of the world if you lose. And the real stuff starts, you know, this week. That's when you're not going to be sitting players this week. I can't wait to see what happens. I hope, you know, I like to see the Stars go far. I thought the Oilers were going to win, and the Rangers, and the Jets, I thought were going to do, you know, playoff hockey, you never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. I think that, you know, and just as the Leafs game just ended, let's take a moment of silence here for the Leafs. They lost 3-0. They always find a way to lose in the playoffs. and it just makes me excited every time that they do. Not bragging. It's just a fact.
Bragging.
But
brag, just brag. I mean, all hate
come
the
on,
Leafs.
Come on, come on. Exactly.
I hate Leafs fans. Like when I go to the Prudential Center to watch the Devils games, they're the most obnoxious people there. It's just like I love when the Leafs lose. And I know you guys agree too, especially Mark with Tavares over there, but you know, there's such a cocky fan base for not winning a Stanley Cup since 1967 when our dads were like in diapers. So a lot of bragging for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You love to see it. But, you know, now that all the play-in rounds are done, all the qualifying rounds are finished, what are you guys looking forward to most? What are the matchups here that you guys like coming up here in the next few weeks? I mean, we're starting off here. First on matchups right now, we got Flyers, Canadiens, Caps, Isles, Bruins, Canes, Lightning, Columbus. Can Columbus knock off the Lightning again? I think that's going to be a great series there. Or the Lightning are just going to be full revenge mode and they could sweep Columbus. Which of those games are you guys most excited for?
Well, I'm not watching hockey because my team lost, so I'll pout. So, no, I'm just kidding. I honestly am looking forward to watching the Canadiens Flyers. One, because I want to see if the Penguins just absolutely completely shit the bed against the Canadiens. And the other thing, too, is I think Philadelphia honestly looks like one of the strongest teams. You know, everyone's always low on them, because they haven't won a cup in who knows how long. They're kind of like the Leafs where they just underperform in the playoffs, but they look extremely strong. I mean, they're a very physical team and they're fast, too. And Carter Hart's finally coming into his own back there at goaltending for them. So they finally have a stable force at the goalie position there. So that's another round. Or that's another matchup that I'm looking forward to. And then the other one that I'm pointing to, I'll skip over your Islanders, Mark. I'm looking at Bruins Hurricanes because the Hurricanes absolutely rolled the Rangers. The Rangers probably, to me, looked, alongside with the Penguins, the absolute worst team in that qualifying round. They just looked abysmal. They could get nothing going. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Hurricanes could do. I believe that was the Eastern Conference final matchup last year. So that's going to be a rematch for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing those two matchups in the East.
Kev, what about you?
I would love to see the Blue Jackets sweep the Lightning again. That was great watching that last year. You know, I don't hate the Lightning, but when the Devils went to the playoffs a couple years ago, when I went, I saw them live. You know, the Lightning. Kick their asses pretty much, but and then last year that was just great. You know, I love the underdog, so I'm gonna be watching that series. But again, the Caps Islander series, I think that one's gonna be a really good one. You know, you have a former coach, you know, you have Barry going against his former team, and you're gonna have a bunch of young players versus a bunch of they just won a Stanley Cup a few years ago, so it's gonna be a great tough game. And honestly, I hate to say it, but I think the Islanders are going to pull out with the win there. I think Barry's going to definitely outcoach the Caps. So I'll give the props there. But the Blue Jackets Lightning, I hope the Blue Jackets sweep them. I like seeing, you know, an underdog team from, you know, Cleveland's not a hockey city, so it's a little bit different, you know. And it's a different team going. I like to see different teams, not just the same teams every year, like the Blackhawks or Penguins. Right now for me, Islanders winning, and I would like to say the Blue Jackets winning.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that too. Blue Jackets sweep the Lightning again, but I don't think they're going to sweep them. I honestly don't think they're going to beat them. I think the Lightning are going to beat them. Bruins, Canes, that's going to be a really good series. Like you said, Noah, I'm interested to see Flyers, Canadiens. I'm high on the Flyers. I think that they're really good, and it'll really show. It'll show when they play the Canadiens, because Canadiens knocked off a pretty good Pittsburgh team. So the Flyers coming in here, it's going to be nice. Obviously, watching the Islanders, Capitals, that's the one I'm most excited for, hometown bias there. But in the West, also, a bunch of good matchups. You got Knights, Blackhawks, Avalanche, Coyotes, Stars, Flames, Blues, Canucks. We don't have much time. I'm going to start off here. My favorite one that I'm looking forward to the most, I have to go Blues, Canucks. I think that's going to be a great series. I think both teams are really good, and I hope the Canucks can pull it off. I hope the Canucks can knock the Blues off. And I think they can. I think the Canucks are riding high here. They dropped one to Minnesota, but they clawed their way back and they were able to pull off the upset there. I think I love Canucks beating the Blues. That's what the one I'm looking forward to the most.
No, well, I gotta say I like the Canucks too. You know, again, I like the Blues. I like their team last year, real scrappy. You know, to come from behind, but the Canucks are a real great young team. They have Quinn Hughes, which is the Devils Hughes' brother. He's doing great. You have Peterson too. So I like that series a lot. And I would also like to see the Coyotes win too. Just again. As an underdog team, you got Taylor Hall. Even though he left Jersey, you got Taylor Hall on that team. You know, I think they're making surprise too. And then you got the Blackhawks, who are 12th seed. You know, they're riding that win. They're going. They could make a. You know, I think with that momentum, they could make a lot of upsets. But overall, I think I got the Canucks for this round, definitely.
No, what about you?
Yeah, these are all really good matchups out of the West, but the one that I'm looking at right now, and we'll mention the Blackhawks again, I really think that Knights-Blackhawks is the series that I'm looking for because, you know, Blackhawks have been in the playoffs. They're a perennial playoff team, won multiple cups in the past decade. Vegas made it to a final, and Vegas, in my opinion, is the clear favorite in this game. I think they looked very strong in that opening qualifying round, but the storyline with these perennial playoff teams, you see the Blackhawks, they fell off in recent years. They haven't been as good, and everybody knows that. It happened to the Kings. Now I think it's happening to the Penguins, where you have these aging great cores that just end up falling off. But could we see a resurgence here? What if the Blackhawks win? That would be an interesting storyline, because they still have Patty Kane. They have Jonathan Toews. They have Corey Crawford. And Duncan Keith and Brandon Saad, all guys there from that aging core and former, three-time Stanley Cups in the past decade. If they could pull it off against the Knights, we could see one last run from this old core Blackhawks team with some new guys around them. So that's the matchup I'm looking forward towards.
Yeah, I agree. I like that a lot. And I, you know, as much, I don't want to see the Blackhawks go, but I would like that to see them go because it's just, you know, again, like the Penguins, aging group. And even like Washington, you know, you're getting a little bit of an Asian group there. I mean, Ovechkin, you know, that took a while for him to win his cup, and I think that's going to be his last cup. But, you know, the Blackhawks, they have the talent to go, and I think the Penguins had too. But I think I'd root for the Blackhawks to go. Just as an underdog, they're low seed, but they have the talent.
That's pretty much all the time we have for this week. Kev, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Oh, no problem. I hope you come back soon.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. We're going to talk, you know, every week we're coming out trying to make new content. It's a lot easier now than it was before. The shows are just getting more interesting because sports are coming back.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, and like we said before, Noah and I are going to start posting our two best gambling picks each. We're going to keep track. We're going to see who's the better gambler, and hopefully we're going to win some money here. So I'm excited for that. And Noah, as always, dude, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, Kev. Thank you for coming on. And we're going to keep track of those gambling picks. Hopefully, one, I'll beat Mark, and two, we can win you guys some money with our picks. But it's really just about me beating Mark, let's be honest.
Noah, it's been a pleasure. Mark, you too. Noah, hopefully next time your golf trip's a little less eventful.
A little less hectic. Look, I'm a man of the people. I'm just trying to enjoy my Sunday. So, look. I'm just a little frazzled. Penguins suck. Pirates suck. My golf outing was, a little sad. It's just been a rough week.
All right, guys.